Well, if you're back to hear some more of our extracts from the hilarious series of live radio programmes broadcast 20 years ago by me, Vernon Pierce, and one of my best friends, but now sadly the late Brian Starman, in the Grumpy Old Men programmes, then you'll not be disappointed. Because here are some more of those observations on life, which strangely don't seem to have changed much with the passage of time. And in this edition, we'll be moaning about the use of 0900 telephone numbers for phone-ins, fly tipping, another swipe at political correctness, TV ads, badly behaved children in restaurants, and poor driving.
Occasionally, Vern, you may not believe this, but I do sometimes watch TV in the afternoons when I'm having
really?
A rest between heavy physical
sure.
sessions.
No, I understand a man of your age needs a sort of quiet time in the afternoon.
I do. Thank you for that. Will you tell my wife, please? But I sit there sometimes amazed because lots of these afternoon and some of the evening programmes have a TV viewer competition where viewers are expected to ring in. And of course, there's a question that's phrased. And normally a choice of three answers.
This is not the 0900 numbers, is it?
It is. I sort of come out of the motors for that. But the answer to me is always so obvious, I wonder why they give multi-choice. For example, who is Prime Minister of Great Britain at the moment? Is it A, Mickey Mouse? Is it B, Charles Bronson? Is it C, Tony Blair?
Now, A.
Well, I actually go for... I think we should have B, personally. But this is obviously merely a ploy to get people to ring in and whatever.
Absolutely.
It's merely registering their numbers. So it just irritates me. It's just this dumbing down system. And of course, there's a phenomenal prize of, say, £3 million just for ringing in. And it just irritates gets me under
my skin. Yeah, but, think of all the revenue they get from those phone calls, premium rate phone calls at £1 a time or something like that.
I am thinking about it. I object to it.
That's
okay.
Right. Well, that's why they make it so simple, so that everybody goes, oh, I know that one, I know.
I know that one, yes, right. And I don't have to look up in a reference book.
That's right. But, I mean, it's like insulting your intelligence. At least if you had to sort of try and guess the right answer.
Yeah, or check it out, or ring a friend.
Yeah.
Or ask for 50-50.
Yeah. So do you subscribe to these things? Do you actually ever take part then?
No.
I refuse on principle.
I do too.
Yeah.
Because it's throwing money at something that doesn't deserve it, quite honestly. Yeah. If it's a charity, I think it's different.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to finance the TV companies. Another thing they do, I don't know if you watch Dancing on Ice. Are you that sad?
No, I don't. No, no.
Well, they have competitions where
Let's
normally...
Let's skate over this one, shall we?
I'll freeze you out in a second. Fat chance. Well, what they tend to do is they have the programme and then at the end there is obviously a vote and a result of the vote. It's the delay in announcing the result of the vote. They can actually stand there, the presenter can stand there tethered for what seems like 15 minutes, keeping the competitors on edge. And I don't get it. Why they need to take so long. You could cook a meal.
It's building up the tension, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely tension, but not the nice sort.
Okay, my first gripe this week is litter, especially fly tipping.
Right.
And I get so angry because why, when there are so many free recycling centres around our towns now?
Nearby.
Yeah, with long opening hours and especially on the weekends, why do people drive into the country to dump their rubbish in a lay-by or a farm gateway? Whilst they're driving out into the country, they might as well drive to the council's recycling centre. You know?
And they don't have to do it secretly.
No,
late at night.
No,
right. You know, it's
they're not going to get charged for it.
No.
And in fact, they're doing the environment a favour by, our recycling centre, it recycles something like 60% of things that people take there, even down to, you know, reselling stuff that is, you know, okay.
Like doors.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Children's
yeah.
things that they've grown out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just recycling metal and glass and all that sort of thing, which they do, and oil, and just about everything you can think of, and of course, green waste. But also, if they see something in the tip, you know, a plastic children's toy or something, they'll wash it down and put it on sale for 50p, and somebody's going to get some enjoyment out of it.
But this fly tipping, because we've got a little wooden copse near to our cul-de-sac, and there are people living nearby who are in large houses. So one presumes, one, they've got money, two, possibly a modicum of intelligence. But they insist on dumping non-degradable rubbish in that wooden copse, which is a lovely area for walking and with dogs. And I don't get it.
No,
Vernon, I'm with you. They've got vehicles.
That's right. Yeah, it's just unacceptable these days. I mean, the facilities are provided for us, and if you're going to get in your car and drive to dump it in the country, why not drive to the place that's provided for you?
Yeah, one has to wonder at the mentality. But that's vandalism, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that we keep coming back to is political correctness, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there are so many examples of this.
It's insidious.
That's right. And here's another one. And I sort of attribute this to the Reader's Digest. It's a lovely story in a recent edition of the Reader's Digest. It's about a student, Max Foster, who was woken at in the early hours of the morning by the sound of three youths riding his motorbike round in the street.
Right.
The 18-year-old who was staying at a friend's house in Bath dialed 999. Four police cars turned up in 3 minutes. Max was really impressed. And seeing the officers, the youths jumped on the bike and sped off. This time, the police's response was a little less encouraging. And they said, sorry, mate, there's nothing we can do. The youths aren't wearing helmets. And so the police explained that if one fell off and hurt himself during the chase, the officers could be sued. Now, this sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
That's a cop-out, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah. Oh, God. Now, you've destroyed the whole seriousness of this. No, but I mean, to say that they weren't allowed to chase them because if they fell off and hurt themselves, they'd sue the police.
I know,
if you're engaged in criminal activity...
You take that risk, don't you?
Absolutely.
Nobody said, don't wear a helmet, guys. That's right. They actually chose not to.
It's outrageous, yeah. I think. Avon and Somerset police later denied they have a blanket ban on pursuing riders who don't have helmets. Rather, it claimed the officers and their station supervisor felt at the time that a later search of the city would be the most effective way of catching the thieves. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's
getting many stories of this out there, aren't there? There was another recent one, very brief. But this guy had been suffering vandalism from this youth for many, many months. And he decided to confront him. So he went up to the young lad, and the young lad said, I'm really, really sorry, which was unusual, but he actually did. So the guy whose place had been vandalised said, will you come with me to your parents? So the young lad said yes, because the guy said, I want your parents to know all about this. And he took the boy to his parents and sorted it out, discussed it and walked away. He then got a visit from the police, and apparently it was because he had taken this boy without his consent on a journey. He virtually kidnapped him. And the boy, no charge at all. Yeah. And he was being charged.
It's ridiculous. We get so angry on this programme, don't we? But we feel better off.
You're listening to Two Grumpy Old Men, presented by Vernon Pierce and Brian Starman, a regular programme of middle-of-the-road music, interspersed with moans about the things that annoy us most, and some amusing observations on life.
So, your turn for a moan now, Brian.
Well, it is a flipping moan. What do you think of TV adverts currently?
I try to avoid them. It's the time when I go out and make a cup of tea, go to the loo, anything but watch them.
But to be honest, it seems to me that they're all dumbing down and they're very patronising in the sense that you watch it and you think, what the heck are they advertising?
About?
You know, it's so obscure, so obtuse. There's one in particular, it's a directory inquiries one. It's okay, I won't mention which one. But it's the one with the twin idiots with moustaches.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sometimes the content really bears no relation to actual product they're trying to communicate. I actually talked this through with an advertising executive I met professionally once, and I said, what is it about these adverts? He said, well, you tell me. He said, which ones do you remember? I said, well, the ones that either make me laugh or really irritate me. He said, precisely. And he said, I'll tell you another thing. The advertisements that you are irritated by, you will remember them and the product. So he said, for us, it's worked.
Well, that's a strange way of looking at it. But I know what you mean. And some of them are so obscure, you spend most of the advert actually wondering what the product or service is that they're advertising. You know, that's the ones that fascinate or annoy me the most, I think. But, yeah, maybe there's something in it psychologically.
But isn't it sad? Because can you remember early TV when they had songs with peas going pop?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And you'll wonder where the yellow went when you cleaned your teeth with?
The old gravy adverts. Yeah.
Hands there, two dishes, don't be soft as your face. I think it's sad with that, but...
Those were simple and they were catchy.
Yeah.
And they they made you remember the product. And I'm sure a lot of products were launched successfully on the back of a good advertisement,
yeah.
Not these obscure things these days. Oh, well, we'll move on, Brian. My next moan is about badly behaved children in restaurants. And this really does wind me up. My wife and I went to Pizza Express recently for a quiet meal for two, just before we went to the theatre. And, okay, I know it's the time of the evening when, you know, parents bring their children out, you know, sort of 6 or 7 in the evening. But, and I don't mind children being in restaurants, but I do believe in them being under control and being made to sit still. All right, young children, it's difficult for them to sit quietly, but it's perhaps an indication of the way they're allowed to behave at home.
I think so.
That, you know, but these kids were running riot. They were running around the restaurant, which was noisy enough as it was with a tiled floor and so on. But with waiters and waitresses, you know, going backwards and forwards with empty dishes.
There's so
dishes.
Many risks.
Exactly.
Them running around.
You know, and the parents just ignored them and just allowed them to run riot, not only to the detriment of other diners like us who just wanted to be able to hear ourselves talk to each other, but also, as you say, the health and safety issue of, colliding with
hazards.
Imagine what would have happened if they'd collided with a waiter who'd dropped a tray of glasses on top of them
or something
some
hot.
Yeah. And whose fault would that have been?
Oh, in appearance.
Oh,
it would
sorry.
Have been the waiter's.
That's right.
You should have seen my little Johnny down there.
The restaurant. Yeah, yes. That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, come on, parents. You really do need to exercise a little bit of control. We can't expect them to sit there with, perfect children all the time.
Well, but, like you and I do.
Yeah, that's
right. We're very well behaved when we're out.
We
keep our napkins on and things.
Yes.
Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah, why not, Brian? Yes. Is it a clean story? I mean, is it one
Once upon a time on a Monday morning at about 8 p.m, I'm in my car heading from Hook towards Cambly. Weather conditions are a little bit nasty in the sense that there's rain and there's spray and heavy traffic in both directions along the A30. And I suddenly realise that the person in front, I'm very, very careful how I describe him, doesn't have his lights on.
Well, it's
not
dark, is it?
Well, it was pitch black, it was pouring with rain, lots of vehicles, no lights on. So I thought, well, I ought to let him know, because obviously he's missed this. So I flashed my lights, nothing. Flashed my lights again, absolutely nothing. I thought, clever stroke of genius. I'll switch my lights off briefly and then on again. He's bound to spot it. I did that 3 times over a distance of 2.5 miles. And I guess he's still driving around without his lights on. Now, what gets into people's brains, Vernon? Please help me.
Well, because their mind's on other things. He might have been having a shave or he might have been on his mobile phone or something. You know, I mean, what makes you think that he was actually concentrating on driving? When you get in the car, it's an automatic
thing. I'm sorry, I'm presuming here, aren't I? And here's another thing. How does he know what speed he's doing?
Yeah.
Because his dials don't light
up
either.
But then you don't worry about that. You just go as fast as the car in front.
But he must have...
Sorry, I'm being very cynical here, Brian.
It's not so unlike you, dear.
I know you're struggling to get a point across here. I agree with you.
Can I interrupt?
I agree with you 100%.
But why didn't he ask himself, why is that person stroke idiot flashing me?
Mm.
Like, I clearly didn't.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if so, there's another Grumpy Old Men podcast coming up soon.